Hi, everyone. I want to be sure to take a few moments to encourage everyone to allow themselves some self-care and a break during the upcoming holiday season. No matter your religious background or your family situation, these next few weeks can be very stressful for everyone for a variety of reasons, and it's important to take a step back and give yourself that break whenever possible and in whatever ways you can. So, to follow my own advice, my team and I are taking a short break to rejuvenate ourselves and make plans for all of the amazing shows we have coming up for you in the new year, starting with Andrea Dunlop on January 8th. Andrea is the host and creator of the popular true crime investigative podcast about Munchausen by proxy. It's called Nobody Should Believe Me. It was a really powerful conversation, and we look forward to sharing that and many other wonderful guests in the new year. So for today, we will be re-airing one of our favorite episodes from the Patreon exclusive archive of bonus episodes. You can access this and more than 60 other bonus episodes by becoming a member at patreon.com/indoctrination. This particular episode on grief will likely be timely for some who may be celebrating the holidays without a loved one this year. Whether their absence is from a death or excommunication or for any reason, we hope this episode offers some solace and insight as we begin the new year. Thanks for tuning in to our Patreon exclusive bonus episode. Listeners like you are the reason we keep the show going, so thanks so much for your support. And enjoy this bonus interview as our thanks to you. Hi to my lovely, lovely, lovely Patreon supporters. Here is a bonus episode for you. I want to be able to talk to you about loss and grief, and not just about loss and grief, but the different kinds, the different types. You know, when people will sometimes be referred to my former cult member support group, it's sometimes after they have been referred to other support groups where the issues that they dealt with were kind of close to what they needed, but not quite exact enough. And one of the things I notice a lot is that people will come to the support group saying they went to a group for people who were grieving, people who had dealt with loss, because they really did feel like they had a huge loss, a loss of community, a loss of everything. But it was slightly different than the grief group that they went to, so they didn't feel like they really fit in. And so I want to be able to talk to you about different kinds of grief and loss. And then you might have an understanding of, if you're feeling that, why you're feeling it that way and what brought that on. So let's get started. The first kind is a non-death loss. So you can grieve the loss of actually anything that mattered to you. It could be a physical ability that now you can't achieve. Like you really like to go hiking and now something, you have hips that are keeping you from doing it, whatever else. You can have a significant loss to something psychological, like that you just feel like something's off and you're not able to bring forth tears. Sometimes people will go through different changes and hormonal changes where they can cry more or less than at other times. And people can actually miss the feeling of having that release. You can also grieve the loss of something spiritual and a community around that, a belief system, the answer to your questions that may or may not have been accurate, but still they were answers that you got through your spiritual connection. And then a loss that's through interpersonal means, so the ending of a friendship, the ending of a relationship, the ending of a marriage. And so people are actually throughout their life going to experience many more non-death losses than death losses. And these losses can be devastating and life-altering in similar ways to those brought on by an actual loss, an actual death. They're also able to cause some really complicated emotions. And so what do you do if a friend has broken off from you or a partner no longer wants to be with you? It's not that they passed away. It's not that you can't ever see them again. In fact, you might run into them a lot. How do you handle that? That's where it becomes complicated. And it can also affect you in terms of your daily functioning, and it can impair your ability to move on because the person is still around, or that organization that you left because you could tell there were some things that you just didn't feel comfortable with or safe about is still there, and it might at times feel like it's beckoning you to come back. And then there are secondary losses. Like when you're dealing with grief, it is easier, I think, and easy to assume that what you're dealing with is the loss of the person who you are grieving. But sometimes then you lose the connection to their family too, or the others in your life who connected you to that person. Or when you go through a divorce, there are people who will say, or a breakup, who will say, I really miss my in-laws. They became my parents, and now they feel like they can't hang out with me because their son or daughter doesn't want to be around me. There are so many others in the picture at times, like you can lose a connection with your guru, and then as soon as you are made to leave, because either you get kicked out or you feel like you have to leave because of how you're being treated, you lose almost everyone else in the group. You lose your community. You lose everyone else. And then ambiguous loss. So this is a bit trickier to sum up. There is a lot to it. It happens when you're grieving someone who is still living, a particular person who is still living, and instead of a loss being, let's say, finite and certain, ambiguous loss is when someone is missing in action. Someone who disappears from you, from your life. Someone who cuts you off. Someone who also profoundly changes to the point where you can no longer relate to them and they no longer relate to you, and you're not quite sure how to have a relationship anymore with them. So you can feel really torn, like you hope things return to normal, but there is kind of this looming sense that it won't, or that it'll take some miracle for it to work, or that you're going to need some help in order to get them back if it happens. And there are also the ambiguous losses of being, let's say, in love with someone who you just can't be with, because they live in another country and you just can't move there because they've enlisted in somewhere and they're fighting off somewhere and you don't know if and when they're going to be coming back. Then there's cumulative loss. You can probably take a guess about what that is. And cumulative loss refers to the experience of suffering a new loss before you have the chance to grieve the loss before. This sometimes happens during wartime. This will happen when there are pandemics, like we just incurred. And this can happen in a way where you feel like you just keep getting hit while you're down. So you being able to grieve the death of someone you don't get to kind of complete the cycle and go through the steps because you then are dealing with another loss and another and another. So sometimes what people do after this, because they just feel like they can't handle the loss. And by the way, this can happen with human beings. Also, I want to include pets. I want to include significant animals in people's lives who can sometimes be just like their children. And I know that I had three little dogs who all got older, became 15 and 16 and 16, and all had a succession of illnesses and then died. And people will say to me now, "So when are you going to get a dog?" And I think, oh, okay, I need a minute. I haven't even dealt with just all the sadness that's cumulative. So I don't want to overlook how significant animals are in our lives and their passing. And what can happen, similar to people saying, "When are you going to get a dog?" Avoidance can sink in. We might be afraid of getting into a relationship if, like, there are some people, you know, who dealt with the loss of a spouse or a partner and then dealt with a loss again of an ex-spouse or partner. And then they're just afraid to date or afraid to meet anyone. But it is important to connect with others so that you actually don't go into a place of isolation. Then there's the non-finite loss. So from childhood, people form these ideas about how they think and hope their lives will turn out. People imagine, make choices, etc. But many things are out of your control. You might think that you were going to get married. You might think that you were going to have children. You might think that you were going to take over the family business. You might think a lot of things. But sometimes life doesn't work out the way we had imagined. And non-finite grief of not realizing, not getting to the thing that you thought was going to be yours or you thought you could achieve or you thought you could experience is something that people carry around with them for a long time. And so there is then this kind of dealing with how to grapple with it. There's this sometimes the need to redefine what your goals can be, what your hopes and dreams can be, what's realistic for you, and how to be just as happy, if you can, about realizing those dreams and those hopes, even if they look and are different from what we had imagined early on. Then there's anticipatory grief. This happens when, you know, someone's not doing well and you're knowing where things are going to be going, and you're preparing yourself, you're anticipating, and getting used to the idea, getting ready for it as best you can. It brings up a lot of complicated emotions. And it's also hard for the person who is struggling, the person who might be getting close to dying, because I've talked to a number of people in that situation, unfortunately, and they've said that they hate that they're putting their loved ones through something because now everyone's sort of anticipating when this is going to happen and how it's going to feel for everyone. And there are a lot of times that a grief counselor comes in very handy to prepare for that moment. It also helps the person who is not doing well know that you're getting support during this time. And then there is disenfranchised grief, which I was just actually speaking about at a support group that I was running. Disenfranchised grief is when a person feels denied the right to grieve with family, friends, and community, or society as a whole. It means the grieving person isn't getting the support and validation they need. This often happens with shunning and other times that people are ostracized from their community. And it also can happen when a particular cult group denies you the ability to go to a funeral or to go visit someone's hospital bedside. Someone really in this situation can feel alienated, invalidated, kind of ashamed that they weren't able to be there with everyone. And they can feel weak that they were supposed to somehow push their way into that so they could be a part of the grieving process with the group, but they just weren't allowed. So many things can come up when you're dealing with disenfranchised grief. And it really, really can hit you like a huge betrayal and huge rejection and isolation. So I hope this is helpful. I hope it wasn't just depressing, but I hope it was informative just to see. And there are other kinds as well, but these are sort of the ones that I come across the most with my clients, where you can see that each one sort of has a different permutation to it, a different set of emotions, a different set of needs. And so I do hope this clarifies things for any of you who are going through these experiences and these feelings. Take care. Thank you again for your support. Thanks again for listening to our Patreon bonus episode. Your support is crucial to keeping the show on the air. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter and Instagram for more content and resources. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.
Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. With the largest selection of concrete and mortar in stock, we have the right mix specially formulated for your project. View our entire selection of concrete and mortar mixes online or in-store and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money.